Please stand as you are able. On this night, let us confess our sin against God and our neighbor, and enter the celebration of the great 3 days, reconciled with God and with one another. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. And it is not required, but it is invited. If you would like to come and receive individual absolution from your sins, you may come forward to the kneeler.
Thank you.
God never wearies of forgiving us our sins. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Eternal God, in the sharing of a meal, your Son established a new covenant for all people, and in the washing of feet, he showed us the dignity of service. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these signs of our life in faith may speak again to our hearts, feed our spirits, and refresh our bodies. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading from the 12th chapter of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. This is how you should eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And so Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done unto you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am only with you a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. "I have set you an example," Jesus says, "that you also should do as I have done to you. Loved one another, just as I have loved you." This commandment to love is the commandment that gives Maundy Thursday its name. Maundy comes from the Latin word that means commandment. And so Jesus commands, not suggests, not recommends. Jesus commands his disciples to love one another as he has loved them, by pouring out his body and blood for them as bread and wine, and by kneeling before each of them and washing their feet. We come to worship this night at the beginning of the great 3 days to reenact these events and to remember that we receive the body and blood of Christ in this holy meal so that we can go out into the world and be the body of Christ. And we come to reenact and to remember that Jesus humbly washes our feet, lowering himself, becoming a servant, and he calls us to do the same. These two events that we reenact and remember tonight are intended to be the pattern for our lives as baptized people. But if we're being honest, foot washing, although deeply meaningful, is also very uncomfortable, especially on the receiving end. The good news is that we're in good company in our discomfort. Just look at how Simon Peter reacts in the gospel lesson. He and Jesus were having a nice holiday meal together, and in the midst of their Passover celebration, Jesus got up, took off his robe, and wrapped a towel around himself. And when Peter realized what Jesus was doing, his reaction was, "No way! Absolutely not! You will never wash my feet." I wonder why this practice makes us so very uncomfortable. I understand that for Peter and the other disciples, it was because Jesus had taken on the garb and position of a servant. They weren't uncomfortable because foot washing was taboo, because actually in ancient Mediterranean cultures, foot washing was very commonplace. Now, not everyone in Jesus' time wore sandals, and there weren't paved roads or sidewalks. And so, as you might imagine, their feet would be very dirty. And so it was customary that when someone arrived at someone's home, in this case for a meal, as an act of hospitality, the host would provide a basin of water for one to wash the dust off of their feet. Now, if the host had a servant, they would also offer the servant to clean the feet. If not, the individual would clean their own feet. Because under no circumstance, and I mean never, ever, ever, ever was it appropriate for even the most hospitable host to clean their guest's feet. And so for us 2,000 years later, we find this act a very loving and tender act. But the truth is that Jesus' disciples would have thought that he was being absolutely absurd and outrageous, that he was completely disregarding all the social norms and cultural expectations. But that night, Jesus assumed the garb and position of a servant. The disciples would have been more than shocked and very uncomfortable that Jesus was washing their feet like a servant. For us, though, I think there's something beneath our discomfort, something deeper, a visceral, emotional reaction to the idea of having our feet washed. It's a vulnerable position to be in. Day to day, we wear shoes to protect our feet, and there's a very real intimacy in the act of someone washing someone else's feet and letting them wash ours. If you've ever cared for a loved one who was sick or dying and helped them wash, you get it. Foot washing here takes this deeply intimate and personal act and then makes it public. And that can feel really embarrassing, because having our feet washed reveals feet that we might find ugly. It bares our feet, revealing them with all of their calluses and scars and janky nails and random hairs and weirdly shaped toes. Whatever the reasons are for each of us, I think that our discomfort boils down to a deeper fear. The fear of truly being known. The fear of truly being seen. The fear of revealing parts of ourselves that we don't want other people to see or even know about. It reveals that we're afraid that if someone were to really know us, to truly see and know all of us, that it would change how they feel about us. We fear that we might lose their respect or their love. We all have parts of ourselves that we keep hidden. Parts of ourselves that we don't think anyone will love because we don't love those parts of ourselves. And so, in a way, taking off our shoes and our socks to have our feet washed is an outward sign of opening up ourselves and being vulnerable with another. It's an outward sign of letting our whole selves be known and seen and cared for. The good, the bad, the dirty, the stinky. This is part of what Jesus did for his disciples in our gospel lesson. And they were just as uncomfortable and embarrassed and afraid as we are, if not more so. I mean, can you imagine how Judas felt sitting there at that table? Every second that Jesus knelt before him washing his feet, Judas sat there knowing that he was about to betray Jesus. And even if Judas had any hope that maybe Jesus didn't know and he could hide it, remember Jesus told him clearly, "I know you are the one who will betray me." And when Peter swore that he would go wherever Jesus went and lay down his life for him, Jesus also told him, "Before this night is over, you will deny me not just once, but three times." The truth is, Jesus knew his disciples better than they knew themselves. And he loved them deeply and fully and to the end. He loved them better than they loved themselves. Jesus knew their secret fears. He knew all the things that they were ashamed of, but too afraid to say out loud. Jesus saw the parts of them that they kept hidden. And he loved them deeply and fully and to the end. This is the kind of love we're talking about when we talk about the love of God. God fully knows us, all of us, the calluses and the stinky socks and the athlete's foot and the hammer toe, all of it. And God loves us as we are. God doesn't love us because we don't have any flaws. God loves us not because we're perfect, but because God's love is perfect. This is the kind of love that Jesus commands us to live and to share. And so we continue to practice the act of foot washing as a sign of our obedience to that command. And as a reminder of what living out this commandment looks like. But we also practice it to remind ourselves that we are fully known. And in being fully known, we are fully loved. loved by the one who loved his own to the end. Loved by the one whose love will never, ever end. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen. Be seated. Foot washing is not required, but if you would like to come forward, you are invited to do so. Because Jesus washes our feet. He stoops down to touch one of the most blatantly broken areas of our body. Our feet often reveal the struggle of the journey that we've lived. They bear the wounds of ill-footing footwear and of a long, arduous meandering through life. Our feet often reveal the weight that we've been carrying, the pain we've been holding. They reveal the place we are most vulnerable. They sometimes smell, and they constantly remind us of our shortcomings. And so when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, he's touching them at their most vulnerable, broken, and tired places of their body. Because for Jesus, washing our feet is not a matter of making us sanitary. This act is a matter of seeing us in the places we most often want to hide. In bending down to touch our feet, Jesus says, "I see you, I know you, I love you."
Thank you.
Holy God, we come to you in prayer for the church, your good creation, and all who are in need. Heal the wounds of your church, O God, as we remember your commandments to love one another. Guide us toward reconciliation within the body of Christ. Bless all who gather around the world and in this community for these holy 3 days. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Renew the life of your creation. Restore land suffering from chronic drought or flood, and protect fragile habitats from destruction. Encourage all who strive to build more sustainable systems for living and thriving. God of grace, bring peace and justice among your people. Where there is oppression or fear, bring liberation and hope. Instill wisdom and humility in local and national leaders, and guide them to serve their communities in the way of Jesus. God of grace, console all who suffer. We pray especially for all who are lonely and yearning for community. Assure them of your loving presence. Come alongside all who cry out to you in any need. God of grace, in the bread and cup we share, you show us the way of love poured out for the whole world. Nourish all who hunger in body or in spirit, that they may experience the life abundant that flows from you. God of grace, we remember the saints who rest in you. We give thanks for all our beloved dead. Confident of your steadfast love, we commend them to your eternal care. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love. In the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to get up and move about a bit and share the peace of Christ with one another.
together. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
Transforming death.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Deliver me from the soul.
Thank you.